reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject that I think is vital for every Christian, conservative, and patriot to understand and to fathom the depth and the breadth of it. That is Amendment 3, that will be one of the 6 amendments that we'll be voting on as citizens November the 5th. It is a very vital, vital subject today, and I pray that you're tuned in and you're asking others to join in the dialogue and discussion. Let me remind you once again that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the subject that we're speaking of today. And as for the Amendment 3, we're talking with, as our very special guest today, Lawrence Perkins. Lawrence is with Keep Florida Fresh, which is an organizational structure that you can find on Facebook and online on the website that will give far greater information than we're able to discuss in the time that's allotted today. But we pray that you'll be tuned in and understand the dangers of Amendment 3. Amendment 3 simply will, listen, it circumvents the legislative process by putting it on the ballot for an amendment to the Constitution of the state of Florida. Unless you have not heard before, let me remind you, the Florida Constitution is made into Swiss cheese today. Out of, since 1973, 127 amendments to the Florida Constitution, and the amendments are usually done when an individual has enough money in the pocket or enough groups with money that they can circumvent the legislative process and have something passed by having a petition signed. The folks with Amendment 3, the pot industry, spent millions upon millions of dollars to have enough signatures. I believe, Lawrence, it's some almost 1 million signatures they've gathered in order to have this placed on the Constitution, placed on the ballot for the Constitution Amendment in November. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's a very vital subject. It'll make the difference in the quality of life in the state of Florida. I believe there's some 29 or 30 states that have already passed recreational marijuana, and I can give you proof positive evidence and statistical data for each of those states that have passed marijuana, the recreational marijuana. They are finding a major plummet in the morals, the ethics, and the values, and the crime rates in their cities and states as a result of it. We're going to talk further about that in just a moment, but I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go with your question or comment, please.
Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. Each time I hear that ad coming over on the air from Morgan & Morgan about the about Amendment 3, I always have that thinking, the thought is in my mind that with the minds, the use of the marijuana, and with the minds distorted with, because of using the marijuana, there will be more accidents on the road. So money power as usual. With getting youngsters messing up their minds with the drugs, then more accidents on the road. So as a youngster growing up in Jamaica, like Dr. Youngblood says, still under 100 years old, but growing up in Jamaica, marijuana was known as wisdom weed. And the promotion was always that they use it to become wise, for wisdom. And we had the Jamaican government fighting that over the years, until in the 60s when academia got involved in it, and it's like the Jamaican government lost the battle against the use of marijuana. So we really keeping Florida fresh, because, you know, we really know what will happen. And we hope that Floridians will wake up and realize that money is not everything. There's no point in getting more drugs on the street and making it available to our youngsters to distort and mess them up more than what they're going through already. So we really need to be praying, and trust Floridians will really wake up and vote no for the Amendment 3, as you're saying. Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood.
Thank you, Lily. God bless you for your call. Lawrence, how do you respond to what our caller just said?
Well, Lily's right. It's those ads are very, very deceptive. One of the things that you hear is that alcohol is much more dangerous than marijuana. However, one of the things that was published in Florida Trend magazine in July of this year is from 2018 to 2022, Florida saw 25,017 alcohol-related vehicle crashes, compared to 2,411 marijuana-related ones. However, the fatalities associated with each category were 1,964 for alcohol versus 1,892 fatalities for marijuana, almost a tenfold increase in the probabilities of death from a marijuana-intoxicated individual. Separately, regarding the damage to an individual's mind, Dr. Daniel Amen of Amen Clinic in Atlanta, who has a vast history of doing brain studies and understanding, did a study of over 66,000 individuals, and they find that there is an accelerated link to brain aging of any user of marijuana, so that a regular user of marijuana, their brain ages faster than a non-user. Mm-hmm. That means you're moving toward dementia, moving toward other things that you would otherwise go to, happens at a faster rate. What's worse is what happens to youth, because the cannabinoid receptors in the brain are affected directly by the THC. And there's reference to this on the, especially on the Facebook side, but you can get to it from the keepfloridafresh.com site. There's a number of statistics and studies that you can get to that refute this image that marijuana is not as harmful and is an acceptable alternative to things. It's just not. Alcohol is damaging. Marijuana is profoundly damaging.
Profoundly damaging. I believe we have Dr. Davis on the line. Go over to your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Very good. Very good. Well, I certainly hope that more people would stand up against this law, because, I mean, we've already seen the devastating effects of it. You know, let's go all the way back to the 60s, you know, in the hippie area, you know, when they were just using not only marijuana, but all different types of drugs so wide openly, and a lot of people got strung out, hooked on drugs, different things. A lot of them lost their lives. But I would just like to know, I mean, since they have come up with the idea that there is such a thing as a safe marijuana, I'd like to know what that is. I mean, because that, if it's a drug, I mean, when you look at the tolerance level of certain individuals, some people can tolerate a whole lot, but some people can't tolerated at all. So, in other words, everybody can't handle, you know, drugs, unless even if we go to alcohol. If we look at alcohol, it's a controlled substance, but look at the devastating effects that alcohol has on individual lives. Now, again, some people can drink a whole lot if we're looking at alcohol, but some people can't drink a drop. It don't take but a drop to get them drunk as a skunk, as the saying goes. So, I mean, for that reason, again, I would like to know, you know, what safe marijuana is according to their definition, because I don't know of any. Now, the second thing, you know, with that is that they want to say how good it is for the schools. I mean, okay, they say that about Lotto. Lotto was supposed to be helping the schools, but
right.
And still we see schools closing down all over, not just Florida, but everywhere. I mean, you know, all the states that have legalized betting and gambling, you know, Lotto, it must not be helping the schools at all if they're closing down. So that was my 2 points that I wanted to make today.
Well, Dr. Davis, you're exactly right. It's a demonic deception that is taking place. Lawrence, would you like to respond to some of the questions and nuances of Dr. Davis?
Yes, Dr. Davis, one of the things that they're twisting words and calling things safe, they're saying that the licensed production is free from some of the things that are tainting some of the black market. Stuff like the fentanyls and other things that might be part of what's being sold on the street, and that it would be safer to use these licenses. But what we found is that the black market flourishes once this is installed, and Dr. Youngblood can speak to some of those issues. But there's something that I want to draw your attention to, and that is the impact that this innocuous safe thing does. There's a university in Australia, and you can see the detail on the Keep Florida Fresh Facebook page. Over 222,000 mother-child pairs in Australia were examined, and found that mothers exposed to cannabis use disorder, which basically means they use marijuana regularly, 98% increased the risk of ADHD, 94% increased the risk of an autism scale birth, or a child with autism on the scale, 46% increase in the risk of intellectual disability compared to children whose mothers did not have a cannabis use disorder or dependency during pregnancy. That's profound, but one other thing I'd like to bring up is the CDC.gov site in February of this year said that cannabis use can have a permanent effect on the developing brain when use begins in adolescence, especially with the regular or heavy use. The potency of the THC that is available now is nothing compared to what it was when I was a young engineer and saw a lot of individuals using it where I went to school at Georgia Tech in Atlanta. It is no comparison to what is available now. Also off that CDC site published this year in February, in 2022, 30.7% of 12th graders reported using cannabis in the past year, and 6.3% reported using cannabis on a daily basis. This is permanently damaging their brains. There's nothing that can be done once those cannabinoid receptors in their brain are damaged. They're done.
Yes. And that's one of the things, Lawrence. By the way, thank you, Dr. Davis, for your call. Thank you for joining in the dialogue and discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Lawrence, that's the reason I used the term today, how to control a society, because you can go around the globe and every nation, every country that's embraced the use of marijuana, you find that the citizens wind up being totally dependent upon the governmental agencies to supply food, clothing, and shelter, because it has dumbed them down so it has destroyed their ability to think, choose, and make decisions. They're totally dependent upon government for their support. And going back to the addictive aspect of it that you touched on a moment ago, Lawrence, I believe you have the statistical data, the THC, which is the portion of the cannabis, the portion of marijuana or pot, however you want to call it, that is addictive. The THC today is several thousand percentages more potent than what was found in the 50s and 60s, mom and pop marijuana, as you want to call it that.
It absolutely is. In fact, in the July issue of Florida Trend, True Leave, who has a 380,000 square foot facility that they've invested in specifically to attack Florida and the Southeast. They state that their average THC content in their facility was 15% 2 years ago. Now they're choosing 28% THC. THC, again, is the psychoactive component. That's not to be confused with CBD, which you find in a lot of ointments and salves and other things too. That has no effect on the brain. What does have an effect on the brain is that psychoactive component, THC, and that's what is so very, very dangerous, not just to the users, but to everyone around. It destroys families. It destroys opportunity. One of the frightening things, and I'm a licensed engineer for over 35 years. I designed distribution centers and manufacturing facilities all over the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. One of the things that I've seen is the impact of not just alcohol, but also the use of marijuana in industrial environments and other things. It causes and leads to accidents. And I don't know what the motivations of these trial lawyers are, but certainly it opens up a venue of new lawsuits and other things where someone has the right to smoke cannabis, as opposed to there's no right to drink alcohol stated in the Constitution. But if you constitutionalize the right to smoke cannabis, how can you prevent that coming into the workplace? How can you do other things?
You won't be able to. It'll be illegal, and it will destroy the morals, ethics, and values, not just the economic structure in our state. I believe I have James on the line. James, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Terrific program, as usual. Your guest is incredible. Sweet Lily was right on target, and I love the way she said in Jamaica they called it wisdom weed, because that's the polar opposite of what it really is. And in the old days, they used to call it dope. And I can't speak to anything but what biblically I've gleaned and what I've watched in my own family. Number one, biblically, we're to be alert and of sober mind, because our enemy, the devil, prowls like a hungry lion looking for someone to devour. And that's part of it. And that sobriety thing, and the reason they call it dope and so forth in the old days, think about it. Point out, our listeners, please, think about any person that you know that's resulted in a success story based on drugs or alcohol. And I don't care what it is. If it's abused, administered and abused, and also keep in mind that the Bible says money's not the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And you look at the people that are lobbying to do this, and then ask yourself, don't take my word for it, but ask yourself, do you think they're doing it because, as the Hippocratic Oath says, for the rare few, we have a remnant now, as the Bible says, we have a remnant now of doctors that really believe the Hippocratic Oath. The majority of them are paying off student loans, and where they went to school, the learning institutions that are teaching it are financed and underwritten and receiving huge grants from drug companies. And guess what? They don't want to do that. They want to cut and medicate and, to heck with whatever's going to happen based on it. But think about your own lives. And I watched an older brother that was the epitome of the definition of arrested development. He started smoking dope at a very young age, and it was as if it froze his developmental mental capacity at about 15 or 16 years old. And I wish I could say differently, but I can't find or see anybody, whether in the spotlight or outside of it, that has improved their life. I understand pain and that sort of thing in management, but great doctors can do the right things for that. This is all about greed and money, and you know it. My brothers and sisters in Christ, you know it. That's all it is. And if you don't believe me, travel to a state that allows pot or dope and walk around and see what's happened to that state. And if you were in Colorado 10 years ago and you go back now, stand in line at a big event or something, and it's just the smell in the air and the people, the way they're acting, is just dumbing it down and making them more easily controlled. That's all I've got. Love you guys. Keep it up, Dr.
James. James, if you hang on for just a moment, James, let me simply, yes, you touched, yes, on Colorado. I've done extensive research and studies on Colorado, Washington State, Oregon, California, et cetera. In Colorado, for example, after the introduction and passing of the amendment in Colorado for marijuana to be used recreationally, all crime went up 547%. The murder rate went up, I believe it's like 128%. The loss of homes and families, spousal abuse went up several hundred percentages.
Yep.
Preteens and teenagers going to the emergency rooms and some dying as a result of getting a hold of mom's and dad's gummy bears, chocolate chip cookies, et cetera, that's laced with marijuana. It is a very, 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 very slippery slope, dangerous prospect for the state of Florida if that takes place. And so it is my prayer, just as yours, James. Go ahead.
My wife and I stood in line at Red Rocks, which we always wanted to go see a concert in that beautiful venue. And so for several hours, we watched locals and people from travel all over the world, I guess, but for hours stood in line and got in that beautiful venue. But we watched while they stood in line and got high and intoxicated, inebriated, whatever. And then when we got in there, they kept doing messages that you shouldn't smoke in public and this and that. But of course, there was a cloud on there, you know, bigger than you'd believe. It's just crazy.
Absolutely. It deserves our serious attention and our prayer, James, and I'm thankful for your comment. You're spot on with your understanding of it, and I pray that our listeners are tuned in and will recognize the dangers and will vote no on Amendment 3 come November the 5th. James, thank you so much for your call. Lawrence, when we think about what James just said and the what he experienced personally in the state of Colorado, what are some of the other statistical references in relationship to the damage, the danger, and what marijuana causes in families and homes? And so can you address that, speak to that for a moment?
Yes, and also some of the things that are just deceptive about the the ads that are being run and stuff. But first, I'd like to draw attention. We have posted a video, the local station, Channel 4, videoed this, but the statement by Sheriff T.K. Waters last week was excellent. And one of the examples he made is when he's gone out of state and stuff, he said that that this smoke is one of the most detestable things he knows about.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about being in California and not being able to escape the smoke. I would encourage people to go out. And there's a link on the Facebook page, or you can actually just see the video and the statement from Sheriff Waters, and I just commend him for his stance on this thing. Some of the statistics regarding not just the cannabis content and how much it has increased, that is nothing like what people 10, 20 years ago may have done when they were younger.
Mm-hmm.
The misconception of the use of marijuana to deal with depression and anxiety and other things. One of the links on the Facebook page, there's a doctor that refutes that and said that that's just basically intoxication. And what happens is they create a dependency on that THC reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And you wind up significantly more and more and more craving that. And so it really doesn't help the depression. It really doesn't help the anxiety.
It exacerbates it
mm-hmm. and just creates that dependency that wants that intoxication effect.
Mm-hmm. In other words, it is totally controlling, eventually totally controls the person. It brings about psychosis. It brings about brain damage. It brings about a lower IQ. It destroys the productivity and the creativity of a human being. And I go back to the statement, Lawrence, that every state in America, every global nation or state around the globe finds that it causes the citizens to be totally dependent upon government for food, clothing, and shelter because they become useless and have no productivity in their own lives as a result of it. So, Lawrence, is there serious danger for the state of Florida? Speak to the issue. We've got about 21, 22 million people in the state of Florida. Are those the only ones that it will be detrimental to and harm, or does it have a broader effect?
it's got to have a broader effect in that, and that is stated by Trulieve. Again, it's $1.1 billion Canadian organization that seeks to target Florida because not just of the 21 plus million individuals that are citizens and that live here, but the 150, 160 million visitors that come to the state and trying to open up the state as a source mm-hmm. for them to come and acquire and sell to them and thereby extend the infection, if you will.
Yes, that's a good statement.
Mm-hmm. And it is a complete monetary pursuit, and I appreciate the young man calling a while ago and specifically talking about the passage in 1 Peter 5 where we're called to be sober and clear, excuse me, clear-minded.
Mm-hmm. One of the major things that we find, Lawrence, when we think about that, let me say this. We've got a couple of minutes left on the broadcast. So, Lawrence, the bottom line from my perspective, what should Christians do? What should churches do? What should pastors do? How shall we then live, as Ezekiel 33:10 says? Should pastors be verbal in the pulpits? Should Christians be upstanding and warning about the dangers of it? Should Christian moms and dads be concerned enough that they're going to encourage others to vote no? Tell us briefly in these last few moments, what should we do? How should we live?
Well, one of the things, we need to be informed ourselves. We need to go and seek wise counsel and understand what's real and what's being fabricated to try to cover up things. One of the things is I've visited pastors. Some of them say, well, they don't get involved with political issues, but some say this is not a political issue. This mm-hmm. is a moral issue, and that they are called us to raise up that standard. And we as individuals are called to raise up that standard and say, this is wrong. These are the things that are wrong, and we need to invest the time to inform ourselves. And that's really why we started mm-hmm. Keep Florida Fresh and are publishing multiple times a week pieces of information that inform and that give you the ability to contest this misinformation that is out there.
So say again, that's a good website, good informational site. Tell our listeners again how they can find that, what it does.
Okay, you can go to keepfloridafresh.com. That's all one word, keepfloridafresh.com. And then there's an accompanying Facebook page that has continuously updated and new information and things such as the statement by T.K. Waters, the speech segment from the Florida Sheriff's Association by Governor DeSantis.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, and we've been covering the fact that Amendment 3 will destroy the morals, ethics, and the values of the state of Florida. We need to say no on Amendment 3 come November the 5th. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Her name is Jenny, and maybe like you, she and her husband got tired of their health care getting more and more expensive, so they did it. They went with MediShare.
We signed on with MediShare in March, had a really great experience. It was super easy to get going with them. And